afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And Ashley's here. I'm so used to, Bob used to do that all the time. Jump in, and that way you know all the voices.
Yeah. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere Kubota dealership. And if you're looking for a deal on a tractor, get up there and see them at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Their phone number is 226-9226. And just so you know, if you lost a tractor in the fire, I believe they're working on putting some programs together for folks that had fire loss to see if they can get additional discounts for a replacement for you. So go up and see them and see what's cooking there, or, well, maybe not cooking, but what's going on.
Yeah, we don't use the word cooking anymore.
No. And go see Team Power. And you can also get them on the web at readingtractors.com.
Exactly. And
there you go.
An unsolicited, I don't know, I don't know, like compliment or whatever. I guess it's a business boost, but he doesn't know we're doing it. So how does that work? He's not a sponsor, right? So we're giving him free advertisement. How's that? And it's Charles at Airco. I forgot to do that last week. And
Airco Air Conditioning Service.
So if you live in the Reading area and you're looking for somebody who actually will care that your heating and air isn't working, heating, of course, is not a problem these days, but air is a huge problem. Charles does a great job, and I really wanted to have his phone number with me, and I left it at home. I tried to look him up real quick here. I'll try and find his phone number, but seriously, if you're in the market for an air conditioning person and you really want somebody who pays attention and is, he was crafty too, because we had some weird fan and he's like, no problem, we'll get it fixed.
Yeah, he got in there and he climbed up in an attic that had to be 250 degrees and took the motor apart and figured out how to make it work.
Got us back in our house just in time for the fire to break out, so we could vacate that motel room on the day that everyone else needed it.
Exactly. Yeah, we were out of the house for 2 days for no AC. Yeah. It got hot.
So anyway, Charles at Airco, he's our hero. And there. Okay. That was one thing I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. And many thanks to Lynn and Karen and Ken and all the nice people who help sponsor the show in the kind of in the background. We appreciate you. A lot.
Very much.
And if you want more information on sponsorship and those kinds of things, and we'd be happy to promote your business, we'll do a better job than we just did with Charles, though. like we'll actually have the phone number. All we know is it's Charles, and he shows up when he says he will, and he fixes stuff. So, frankly, that carries a lot more weight than the phone number. You can just call me, and I'll get you the phone number. And our phone numbers are all on there. WeThePeopleRadio.us. So today, we're going to continue our discussion with the Siskiyou County Ag Commissioner and sealer, because we learned all about what sealers are. His name is Jim Smith, and he has just a ton of information, and I'm not sure most people realize how much an ag commissioner does in a county. And Siskiyou County has all sorts of different issues that would intersect with the ag commissioner. So we thought, we'll have him on. And he said, 2 hours, that's a pretty long time. Yeah, so last week we completely ran out of time. And so we're carrying them over to this week, and I guarantee you we'll run out of time again. So anyway, let's see, a little blurb about Jim. He grew up on a Tule Lake potato, grain, and hay family farm that his grandfather homesteaded following his service in World War I. Over the years, Jim earned a Bachelor of Science degree and a Master's from Cal State Chico. That was where we got derailed last time. He also has teaching credentials in the subject areas of agriculture, industrial arts, and science. So that's pretty neat work history. He's done all sorts of different things. And so maybe you want to recap for us a little bit, Jim, like what you do. We got in depth into what a sealer does last time, but maybe you could give him the elevator. How about the elevator talk about what sealers do? You have an elevator speech for your sealer credentials there?
The elevator story. Remind me what that was.
No, like an elevator speech. You know, like the thing, if somebody asks you in an elevator what you do for a living, you got to be able to tell them before they get to their floor. Sorry, yes, we all live in towns with no elevators, so we don't have elevator speeches up here because we don't have elevators.
The elevators I get on are generally at a grain elevator, you know, and you're hanging on for dear life.
Hanging on for dear life.
Ask the ag commissioner to give his elevator speech.
Yeah, I got 80 feet to talk to you, you know. That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
So the agriculture commissioners in California represent all 50 California's 58 counties. There's 56 or so ag commissioner sealers in the state of California. They have a few counties that are pretty small that are combined together under one agriculture commissioner. And what they're doing is have the dual roles of promoting and protecting the state's basic food supply, agricultural trade, the environment, public health and safety, consumer confidence, and ensuring there's a fair marketplace in California. We have a lot of programs that we operate that allow us to focus on those things. For example, in California, you have one of the most stringent pesticide use and monitoring programs in the whole United States of America and possibly the world. So if a farmer or rancher or even a homeowner is using, you know, a pesticide for weed control or for killing bugs, pest bugs, then... by tracking a permit that the grower has to get prior to use. If it's a very dangerous compound, they have to call or inform the Ag Commissioner's office 24 hours prior to using that product so that the Ag Commissioner's office can verify that that product's safe to use in the environment that it's being planned for. And as such, we fill paperwork out that justifies and verifies that that product is safe for that piece of property that they're going to put it on, and they're going to use a method that is also safe and effective. And we monitor the application often, especially in cases of dangerous pesticides being used, so that there's actually an inspection done during the application. And at times we do a monitoring after the fact, because sometimes we get into a situation where there may be some resistance to a pesticide developed, and we are part of the remedy for that. We work pretty closely with University of California Farm Advisors in most cases. We're a great partner. They're a great partner in most of our agriculture endeavors. That's really to protect our environment, our consumers, protect our food supply. It's also ensure that farmers and ranchers continue to have tools to use when they're making, raising our food, which is pretty important. There aren't any voids in nature, as most people know, that raise a garden. If you're not pretty diligent at protecting what you're raising in your garden, something else will eat it instead of you. So those are challenges that have to be met in some manner. And I will say that over the years, with knowledge of pesticide use and the basic biology of pests that we have, the manner in which we deal with pests, both weeds, insects, plant pathogens or diseases, has drastically changed to provide for a more safe environment. Some of the newer pesticides are actually, you know, plant, live plant, or not live plant, but live organisms that can affect the pests and get rid of them without actually having any what you would consider a typical pesticide, like a typical hydrocarbon pesticide. So things do evolve as knowledge is learned and applied.
So you with that being said, I would imagine there's quite a bit of ongoing training that you have to go through to keep up with all this stuff.
Just the chemical stuff alone.
Just the chemicals and the use and who's using it and storing it and disposing of it. I mean, that sounds like a pretty complicated gig.
So that's
sounds
definitely
like a lot
true.
Of science.
It's a lot of science. It starts with the inspectors or the biologists or the deputy ag commissioners to do enforcement work in any of the arenas that we operate in. We have to have a license. And to get that license, you have to take tests. Currently, we have 5 licenses that have to be obtained by the inspectors in biology. And we have 3 in weights and measures. And after that, they have to take a deputy ag commissioner or a deputy sealer test, which is a written test, and an oral, which is graded by a board of our peers. It's usually CDFA, California Department of Food and Ag, and Department of Pesticide Regulation liaison officers, and an agriculture commissioner sit on that board. And they pass or fail you based upon your oral exam. In the case of I have two senior deputy ag commissioners, sealers, working for me. One of them runs most of the programs in my Yreka, California office, and the other is a senior deputy ag commissioner that runs the Tule Lake branch office. Both of them have specific duties, and they had the requirement of earning both a deputy sealer and a deputy ag commissioner's license prior to being promoted to that position. Agriculture commissioners are actually tasked with a couple more tests. They have to take
Hang tough on that one, Jim. We have to take a really quick break, and then we'll come right back. You know, it's funny. Just when you think there's a ton of regulation, you find out there's all this stuff under the surface.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
People are like, what? This is all going on?
Yeah. Well, so somebody's got to do it.
No kidding. Apparently so. So we're here with Jim Smith, the Ag Commissioner from Siskiyou County. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
In the town where I was raised, clock ticks and the cattle graze. Time passed with amazing grace back where I come from. You could lie on a river bank, paint your name on a water tank, miscount all the beers you drank back where I come from.
We're back. I tried to get you a whole new selection of music, Jim.
Yeah, I noticed that.
No shortage of good stuff from, you know, you just do a little search on music about rural America. It's like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. A lot of choices. So anyway, I didn't play Don't Mess Around with Jim again, although I really wanted to. the Jim Croce favorite. I've had in my playlist, and it's like, what am I going to play that for? And I was like, oh. Next guy named Jim, and that was you.
Well, you know, I was in. That was one of my favorite singers for a long time. So
I know I like that guy. We don't hear much from him anymore.
That's because we're here. Well, he's dead.
But I mean, he's not on the radio and stuff. You know, you don't hear his songs played much. I didn't mean from him.
Oh, you didn't mean like Bill, new stuff?
Bill, you smarty pants.
Yeah,
you have to sleep. You know.
Yeah,
you better watch
his new album. You're going to have to wait for that for a while.
Oh, what the heck gets into us? Okay, so back on point. So your deputy ag commissioners, they have to know have to know a bunch of other stuff.
They have to have licenses.
I was really tired at that point. We had to take a break just because I was so tired thinking about all the stuff they had to learn.
Yeah. So the ag commissioners are licensed to operate and do regulatory work in each area they operate in, and it gets like more licenses the further up the track you go. So the commissioners actually have taken about 16 tests and are pretty much licensed to do everything that needs to be done. But, you know, we're not the only ones that have to be trained, though, which you referred to. So the growers and their applicators or the pest control businesses that do that kind of work for hire are also required to have licenses to operate in the arenas that they operate in. For example, if they're going to spray a pesticide on a field crop, or a vegetable crop or something like that, they have to have a license from the Department of Pesticide Regulation for that category. And there's about 12 categories they can get a license to apply pesticides in. If you're going to make recommendations for the use of a pesticide to an agricultural producer, you have to have a pest control advisor license. And there's also 12 categories in that one to pass. Oftentimes, pest control business has a pest control advisor license and a qualified applicator license or certificate, which gives them the right to make recommendations and to apply those chemicals. The business has to have a license, and all the stuff that they do is tracked. Reports are filed every 7 days with the Ag Commissioner on what they've done and who they've done it for and how much they've used. And that information is also verified by the inspections that we do in the field on these applications.
Now, is that, does that apply also to these guys that go around and do residential spraying?
The residential spraying isn't monitored as closely, but we do inspections periodically on them. And they also are reporting all their use, but it's at the end of the month. So they'll give us a list of the materials they've used. And we often do, even up here where the numbers of structural pest control operators are pretty few and far between compared to, say, for example, in Redding. There's quite a few more in Redding. And, we do inspections. We monitor their safety training and information, their personal protective equipment, the processes that they do use when they're applying pesticides. The other thing that the commissioner does is answer to complaints. So if somebody has a complaint about any kind of a pesticide application, we go out and do an investigation and come up with a plan.
So I had a pest guy tell me one time that, you know, they're licensed to spray, you know, the different chemicals they use, but homeowners can actually buy over-the-counter chemicals that are stronger than what they're licensed to spray. Is that true?
No, that's absolutely false. The stuff that the homeowner can currently buy in a store is usually much lower strength than a structural pest control applicator, operator, that would be the business operator, can use. They can buy technical material and spray it on based upon the label's requirements at a stronger ratio, probably than the stuff you're going to buy in the store. That's a pretty low concentration in most of the homeowner products. Another little tidbit is that the homeowner products have been vetted for safety big times, 100X safety factors, low concentrations. And some of the materials are not allowed to be sold in consumer product divisions. So you don't have access to the same products that a professional might have access to.
Well, I think that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good thing. You know, there's still enough choices out there to handle most of your typical homeowner concerns outside of things like maybe termite control and some serious type infestations, you know.
Right.
So there's that aspect is in a different category. It's actually licensed by the Consumer Affairs Board down in Sacramento in a different division. But the Ag Commissioners are responsible for enforcement on those arenas also. It's a little bit different than agricultural operations. For example, I wouldn't go out and license a homeowner to apply a pesticide they could buy at the store. But I would maybe require a license of a agricultural producer who's going to spray his field of alfalfa for weevils, for example. And if he's using a product that's somewhat dangerous, he would have to have not only a permit to spray and put that material on his field and diagram what that field was and what the crop is, he would have to have a private applicator's license himself in order to apply that or to supervise its use. So it's a pretty stringent set of rules that pesticide use programs are involved in. And not every step of the way, there's an Ag Commissioner oversight. The Ag Commissioners also have a liaison with the Department of Pesticide Regulation, where we work together to try to make sure our programs are pretty standardized throughout the state, and that we're kind of looking at all the same important aspects of safety for the environment, safety for the applicator, safety for the people that are going to consume the food that are being treated.
We hear all the time from these environmental groups that, you know, farmers are just running around, you know,
spraying
polluting
stuff.
The world.
Yeah.
No controls.
Now, I heard recently that Roundup, which is, I believe, in certain concentrations, they have to be licensed to spray that, is now showing up in a lot of our groundwater. Is that the case?
Not that I've heard. Groundwater contamination has not been a factor in that. There's been a lot of controversy about glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, effect on the environment and into people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the most used compounds in the world.
I know. It's really popular. Discovery. Now, when you hear stories like that, I mean, where could a person go to verify? Like when you hear, oh, Roundup's in all the groundwater in the California water basin.
Did you read that on Facebook?
No, I read it on the internet. But
it must be true.
It must be true.
Look no further.
That's right.
The internet. Internet never has anything wrong.
No.
Double check it with Facebook.
So where would you go? Would you go to the Ag Commissioner to verify, or if you hear stories like that? I mean, I'm sure you don't want everybody calling you every 5 minutes every time they hear a story or read something on the internet, but is there like a resource a person could go to find out that type of information?
Absolutely. You can go to the Ag Commissioner. That's one of the things that we are tasked with doing is answer questions and provide outreach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And every county has one. So that'd be the first place to go and verify any of these stories. Cause gosh, there's stories about everything now anymore.
Yeah, but there's other places that are available. One is to go to the Department of Pesticide Regulations webpage in Sacramento.
Okay. All right.
The second one is to go to the Environmental Protection Agency's website. Both of those will offer you, from the regulatory standpoint, information. There's a lot of misinformation out there because it sells.
Sure.
typically a fearful message
fear from somebody. Yeah, fear is very popular.
That's right. But the people that are tasked with providing you with a safe, you know, and reasonable access to some of these compounds have been carefully vetted in most cases these products have by these agencies.
You certainly hope so.
Nice. Well, before we move on to something new, we better take another quick break because we got behind on the last one. We're back on track. So we're chatting with Jim Smith. He's the Ag Commissioner up in Siskiyou County, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
She was 84 when her kin folks came for a month or more. Now from overwork, she's on the other shore. Much too late was y'all come back, and it says in the Farmer's Almanac, it says, visitors and fish smell after 3 days. Our leader was a silver-tongued man. He deceived the people of the land. And when he got caught, he couldn't stand. It's a little offbeat and a little off track, but it says in the Farmer's Almanac, it says, in rivers and bad government, the lightest things float to the top.
Farmer, I've been married 10 years to the farmer's dollar. I got two boys in the county 4-H. I'm a lifetime sponsor of the FFA. Hey, that's what I make. I make a lot of hay for a little pay. But I'm proud to say I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver. Hogging up the road with my flower. Chugging, lugging, lugging 5 miles an hour. On my international harvester.
Oh, boy.
Bill gave me crap for playing a bunch of Billy Joel. I'm like, all right, I am playing different stuff today. I like that song. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
So before we zoom back into Ag Commissioner land, I found the phone number for Charles at AirCo. So if your air conditioner is busted and you live in Redding or nearby, phone number is 530-510-7362, and that's Charles at AIRECO, AIRECO. Airco. Airco Heating.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Cooling is implied. I guess it's just called Airco Heating, and you figure out that there's also a cooling. Now we care about the cooling. So it's 530-510-7362.
So, Jim, we're talking about unsolicited advertisement there. We were talking about herbicides, pesticides, things that the Ag Commissioner controls there. Yeah. Now, what about livestock, commercial?
Because we were talking about predation, but that was before the show.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
So livestock pest control is usually done under the guidance and direction of veterinarians, you know, doctors of veterinary medicine. Sometimes some of the materials may be under our jurisdiction, but most of the time that's done under their purview.
Okay.
Pesticide use reports are still filed with our office, and that's included in our pesticide use reports that go to the state. So there are some other arenas that we operate in. So, you know, pesticide happens to be just one program that we operate in. It's a pretty important one in California because, as you know, California is the number one agriculture state in the nation. You know, it has about $47 billion in cash receipts for agricultural products.
Well, and they're trying to whittle that down, but yeah, we're still a pretty big deal.
Yeah, if they take the water away from any of the growing areas, it's going to have a drastic impact on
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. Just ask the folks in the Central Valley.
Yeah, we're busy creating the second big Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? So the you know, with the changes that may be occurring in our environment, the planning that is going on and dealing with, you know, resource allocation going to become critical. And agriculture is a pretty important aspect of that. So if your listeners are paying attention, you know, they want to make sure that that's addressed in a way that will protect their food supply. I don't particularly want to become a person eating Chinese developed and raised food when and turning California to a dust bowl. That's not my kind of ideal.
Well, you know, that brings up a really good point. You know, when you go to the grocery store and you buy your fruits and vegetables, more and more we're seeing crops that are not grown here. A lot of South American crops, a lot of Mexico crops. How do we know that that those growers are following the rules that we have to follow, and that we're not getting fruits and vegetables that have been sprayed with pesticides or herbicides that are detrimental to us? I mean, they have people on the ground there, and then our own people that certify that stuff before it comes in?
So that's a really, really, really good question. And I'm going to start out by talking about interstate differences. In many states in the United States use the federal government's EPA guidelines for the regulatory processes. So, for example, right across the border from Siskiyou County up here, we have Oregon. And I can have a grower that actually farms in California and Oregon. Let's just use mint, for example. They have a weed control program that works very well for some really nasty weeds in mint and Tule Lake or in Oregon in the Klamath County side of things that are registered by the EPA. California has our own EPA. It's a Department of Pesticide Regulation with its own rules that are more stringent than the federal government guidelines. And so the guy in Oregon is the same guy. He can use this product on his mint and not have any of these nasty weeds. And the guy in California is struggling very hard to figure out how to control those particular weeds because he doesn't have any particular tools that will address that particular weed.
Because the California regulations don't allow him to use that same product?
That's exactly right. So when he harvests that product, though, he takes it to the same place to distill the mint oil. And, it's been adjusted safe by the EPA. It's been tested and a tolerance has been established. And sometimes that tolerance is zero, which happens a lot. But the material's intermixed anyway. So it sometimes creates a hardship for the people in California as opposed to other states in the nation. But even so, the United States has the safest food supply of the world currently. Testing for other countries' exports into our country are done on a regular basis. The Department of Pesticide Regulation has a whole division down there, and that's what they're tasked with doing. They test products coming in from overseas. They test products coming in from South America and Central America and Mexico on a regular basis. If they find anything that exceeds a safe tolerance or happens to be an illegal pot product, then they quarantine that and destroy it. And they do find some things periodically. There's a list that you can find on the DPR's website that lists some of the things that are commonly or at least recently found to be in violation that have been removed from the market. Unfortunately, what they use in some of those countries is you know, maybe written in a certain way, but there isn't any enforcement that we have or can bring to bear on if that's actually the way it is. But we can test the material coming in, you know, to our marketplace. And so just to make people aware, most of the stuff that you get to eat from South America, you know, buying grapes in the wintertime, for example, is definitely going to be safe because our market is very, very attractive to those farmers down there. They don't want to risk that whatsoever. So most of the time, everything's pretty copacetic. There isn't too many issues with those things. There's a few things once in a while that, that show up.
What another one of the real, I think, hot commodities right now is organic. We see organic.
That sends Bill into a rage every time he sees it.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Okay. Well, organic, well, you get everything from organic eggs to organic broccoli, or I mean, everything's organic now. What are the guidelines, and what is the verification process for organic?
Is it actually different?
Is it is it really any different than, you know, because they charge a lot more for organic foods, and I don't think but I don't think the end user has the ability. Their own means to verify if something's organic or not. What's the process for that?
So organic production is regulated by the National Organic Program Act that was passed by Congress. And it's an act that delineates how that program is to be operated. And the legal operation is pretty well spelled out. And you can do this, you can't do that. And it's overseen by a certifying agency. So a certifier is a company that's been registered and acknowledged by the and licensed by the USDA NOPA program. So they're officially designated a USDA-approved certifying agency. For example, in California, the California Certified Organic Farmers is one of the certifiers, and they will go out and take an application from a grower who wants to become a organic farmer, and they'll sit down and they'll draw a program up for the farm, which delineates how they'll transition from their conventional program into an organic program. So they'll stop using pesticides and commercial fertilizers at that point in time, and it takes about 3 years to transition into a true organic program. So once that field becomes, or cow herd or whatever, becomes 3 years into the program, it's now certifiable as an organic producer.
And does that grower get like a certificate? Because you see a lot of these farmers markets that have organic growers. Do they have a certificate they can show you to prove that what they're selling is organic?
Yes, they do. If they are selling it as organic, they have a certificate that proves that. And they also get a certified producer certificate if they're at a farmer's market that they can show you. And each one of those documents, it verifies that that growers meeting the rules for organic production.
And that's a state document, is that correct?
The certified organic producer document is, definitely. Okay. The certified producer's document is not necessarily a guarantee that he has organic produce. He's just the guy that raised the food. I guess that's the difference between those two. I got to delineate that. The organic program is also overseen by the state California Department of Food and Ag's organic program. So we have also an organic act that was passed in 2003, I think. And as such, any organic grower is required to register and go through periodic inspections by the ag commissioner's offices or some individual special investigators with the California Department of Food and Ag's organic program.
So could organic growers from different states operate under different rules?
No, not really. There may be a little more stringent rules in California because you can make them a little more stringent. But the National Organic Program Act is what kind of sets the tone.
Okay.
The strictures of that act are implemented by the organic certifiers. So some certifiers are more strict about some things than others. So it's a little, there's a little bit of difference in some of those parameters. But if you buy an organically certified product, you can be assured that it's not going to have been treated with a pesticide per se, other than an organic pesticide, which there are some things out there that are usable. Ones that are like vinegar, for example, cinnamon oil and vinegar for maybe some weed control. It actually burns the young weeds down. Sulfur, if it's mined, you know, for powdery mildew control on some of the grapes or some of the cucurbits or things that have a powdery mildew problem. So there's some actual organic pesticides out there that can be used, but they're organic. It's a little bit different than when you typically spray a pesticide on a crop for a bug, you know, the bug dies. So it's a little bit different.
Interesting. Okay, we have to take a really quick break, and then we're going to come right back.
Yeah, because I got the million-dollar question next.
Bill.
Yeah. Well, everybody wants to know. This is interesting
spoiler
stuff.
Spoiler alert, Bill is the million-dollar question. No pressure. Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When I get off of this mountain, you know where I want to go. Straight down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico. The Lake Charles, Louisiana, little Bessie girl I once knew. She told me just to come on by if there's anything that she could do. Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring a leak. She mends me. I don't have to speak, but she defends me. A drunkard's dream if I ever did see one.
Six lanes, tail lights. Red ants marching into the night. They disappear to the left and right again. Another supper from a sack. A 99-cent heart attack. I got a pounding head and an aching back. And the camel's buried in a big straw stack. I'm gonna live where the green grass grows. Watch my corn pop up in rows. Every night be tucked. Raise our kids where the good Lord's blessed. Point our rocking chairs towards the west. And plant our dreams where the peaceful river flows. Where the green grass grows.
Well, there you go.
And now we know why there's green grass.
Yeah, there's green grass. Speaking of green grass, we were talking about organic certification, and I've been hearing, you know, a friend told me that
you read it on Facebook.
Yeah, I read it on Facebook that this marijuana people are buying is there's in a lot of cases no certification process for it, and they use a lot of dangerous chemicals to grow it. What's being done to make sure when I go down and buy my my herb that it's safe?
Bill. and he's lying about that, by the way.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah, so is that organic or is that certified? What's the story with that?
So because the organic program is authorized by the federal government NOPA program, the National Organic Program, right?
Right.
It means that that federally mandated or authorized program cannot be applied to illegal products like cannabis.
Right, so because it's federally legal, so they don't have to follow the organic rules.
But they claim it's
but they can say it's organic.
Well, they can't sell it as a certified organic product because no certifier is authorized to provide that certification just yet.
Okay.
There's still some stuff going on in Congress, but that's where that decision is going to be made on the status of cannabis in the future. Currently, cannabis is a regulated drug by the U.S. government. It's authorized by a bunch of states so far, but not all by any means. Cannabis, as far as the organic program is concerned, is not authorized to be done in an organic manner. You can't sell cannabis as an organic product. If you're doing so, then you're running afoul of the organic program itself and can be held under a violation notice. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Hemp is in the same boat. Currently, you can't raise hemp in California yet. There's still some rules that we're working on, and it has the same limitation. You can't raise organic hemp because you can't raise hemp anyway, but it's in the same boat because it's also regulated by the federal government. There are some concerns. I've had some very serious concerns up here in Siskiyou County. Sheriff John Lopey, who is an excellent sheriff, great partner in working with the Ag Commissioner's Office in all aspects. Department's very supportive and cooperative, and has been on quite a few raids in the last couple years in marijuana grows, cannabis grows that are exceeding the limitations of numbers. Yeah, you know, they're exceeding the numbers of legal requirements. They're not being grown inside. Siskiyou County has a ban on commercial production of cannabis. So the production here has to be limited to recreational or medical. And so they're out policing that as best they can. It's a phenomenal job. We've had a lot. We had 4,500 new residents in Siskiyou County. That's about 20% population increase. You know, Siskiyou County's big, but it doesn't have a large population. And many of those came in to raise cannabis for the marketplace. So we have people that are protecting their products at all costs from any threat to their plants. And every single raid that our sheriff was on, he discovered carbofuran insecticide containers, and evidence around every plant was that it had been applied to the soil around every plant, and it had been watered in. It's a systemic insecticide. It's illegal in California. It's illegal to use on any crop in California. It's dangerous. Part of the reason it's not legal to use in California anymore because of its toxicity. And it's a carbamate insecticide, which is a family of chemicals that cause a certain type of reaction in people. And there were Facebook posts on, you know, some of the local grapevine Facebook programs 2 years ago where they were describing pretty much carbamate poisoning from ingesting too much of the honey oil that they were getting from some of the plants they were extracting. And
so much for the natural product that functions as medicine.
Yeah. Well, so it was serious enough to where I put a public notice out warning people that they needed to really know where they're getting their material. So if you go to a dispensary to get your product, especially now as these new rules are taking effect, you're going to find that your products are tested for pesticides in them prior to being authorized for sale. So this program that's been implemented has taken a little while to get going. It's still got some growing pains to go through, but it's definitely got some focus on how to make sure those products are going to be safe for your consumers. So you buy it from a dispensary, you're going to be pretty well assured that it's going to be safe and it came from a legitimate producer who's not doing things like that.
Okay.
Up here, they're even using it, you know, to get rid of, you know, things like deer or other threats to their grows. You know, it becomes a pretty effective bait in some cases.
It's, oh, my gosh. So they're killing the animals to keep them away from the plants?
Yep, that's exactly right. So it's a pretty dangerous thing.
Another benefit.
We really want to discourage that, you know. Definitely buy your stuff at a legitimate, you know, dispensary or something in California.
Or just go get a job and live happily ever after. And
hey.
Oh, sorry.
That spaghetti sauce last night put you to sleep. Hey.
And yet another reason to never eat spaghetti, besides the fact I don't like noodles. Now you know why. It's because Bill's always trying to slip me a Mickey. What the hell?
I just hear a lot of bad things about it, and
yeah, that's
I just
and it poisons the people who go out in law enforcement and take out these illegal grows,
exactly.
And it gets into the water systems, and you know,
so that's that whole thing. You know, starts coming to bear, and because you know we regulate agricultural production, pesticide use in agricultural production, food, feed, and fiber, we regulate that, and there's still some question about what. Cannabis is, but we have several pilot programs ongoing where the state's actually working with the counties and implementing a regulatory program in some of those counties that have authorized commercial production. So it's all in a flux and it's being developed right now. And I'm sure that by the time we get it completed, it'll be pretty much safe product. And we'll try to, the sheriff's going to be trying to address all of our sheriffs, trying to address the issue with illegal production because, you know, we have 4,500 growers here. And, you know, the market in Oregon is that there's a producer for every 9 users. Well,
wow.
It's oversupplied. So, you know, what's happening is the price goes down when the product's oversupplied. Farmers in California, United States, pretty much know how to do that. They just start farming, and pretty soon the price goes down to nothing, and they have to struggle to try to make profit, you know?
Yeah, no
kidding. So the same thing is happening in the cannabis markets, except for the fact that there are states that don't allow production of cannabis. It's still illegal in some of those states, so the price is being maintained. So, for example...
So they'll come running here. Hey, Jim, we're going to get cut off by the news here.
Go ahead.
Because we're not smoking pot, so we have to have a schedule. we'll be right back. We're going to talk to Jim Smith, the Ag Commissioner in Siskiyou County, next hour. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Declare a state of emergency.